Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, whoa there. Oh, shit. See, I did it again. I came in too fucking hot. Okay. All right. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast. Jeff couldn't be here this episode. So this week I have decided to reach out to a very special person. It took a long time to get a hold of her. Her people didn't mesh with my people. Everyone, please clap wherever you're at, even if you're driving, for Sandy Pickles, everybody.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like that we're inciting clapping.
No. No?
No, I don't think anybody really likes a clapper.
Okay. Okay, so please don't clap on second thought. Please put your hands back on the wheel. Everything is traumatic. It's not liable for anyone who took their hand off of the wheel. Don't listen to me about taking your hands off the wheel. But so yeah, so Sandy,
this is going well.
Yeah. We're apparently it's very awkward that we're doing. We feel kind of awkward.
We do
doing this, but we're gonna push through it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be fun.
It'll be all right.
It'll be a good time.
Maybe.
I hope so.
Probably.
Sandy, how are you doing?
I'm a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. Why do you think we feel uncomfortable? Because I know when we talked about it, like it feels silly to just sit here with the mics.
Well, it's very unnatural from our typical setting, which is living together and sharing a space where we talk freely.
Mm-hmm.
And
gotta watch our P's and Q's. And
I mean, I don't even feel, I don't know. Like I had said earlier, it just feels sort of performative. And I feel like anything where you're performing is anxiety inducing a little, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. Because it's not, we both feel an obligation to kind of be entertaining, like come across as.
Right, right. It's different than just having a regular conversation. Just because there's something at stake.
Yeah.
Four people in Sweden.
Sweden. Yeah. Swedish people or four people who are using a VPN or one person listening
in Sweden, hopefully.
Four episodes. It is all for them.
Yeah.
But they seem to like, they came around before.
What if it was Jeff?
It's Jeff using a VPN.
No, I mean, what if Jeff's like the selling Jeff's point?
The magic? Oh, well, Jeff is 100% the selling point.
Is he
point.
The magic?
He's the magic, baby. Yeah, of course he is, but
I don't know.
But that's okay, because Jeff is here with us in spirit. Jeff would want
like,
this.
I feel like this. The Swedes will give us a chance.
I think the Swedes will open up and realize that it's okay that Jeff isn't here. I mean, I miss him.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong. And I'm very aware that you're not Jeff. And I don't mean that insultingly.
Right, because one of us you see naked and the other one you
right.
don't.
Yes, yeah. Of course, yeah. Well,
that
yes.
One time.
Except for Speedo Boys. Okay, so we're slumping over the awkward shit.
Yeah, we got it.
We just have
to think about Jeff naked, yeah. Apparently.
Jeff naked, yeah. That's what I do. When I'm
That's
in a
ticket.
Mm-hmm. When I'm in a tough situation, I think about Jeff naked, and he helps kind of soothe
Buddy.
It over. This week, we're going to be talking about Sandy. What do we think is traumatic this week?
This week, we find antidepressants to be pretty traumatic.
Antidepressants. Now, why did I choose this, Sandy?
Because you had a tumultuous therapy session that involved the discussion of potentially introducing antidepressants into your mental health regimen.
Yeah. 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 I feel like I need to dive into that a little bit. So
for sure.
It was already not a good, it wasn't good as soon as I got there. 'Cause I had to pee so bad. And
in true drunk white woman fashion.
But okay, I got there and Heather wasn't there and there was no one else there and the door was locked and I didn't.
Do the Swedes know that Heather is your therapist? Have we introduced Heather? You mentioned Heather, but it wasn't like Heather, my therapist. And so I feel
anyone
without that context might be.
No, that's good thinking. Good thinking.
The Swedes need to know.
I usually don't say her name. I usually just say therapist.
Mm. You could take that out, right?
Yeah, I could bleep it or.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be respectful.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. In hindsight. Because, I mean, I peed next to my car. And as soon as I got done, my therapist is pulling up and it's awkward. I feel awkward.
Mm.
I haven't been feeling very well.
Mm.
And it was just bad. I was ranting and raving and I think she was trying her best or doing what she could.
Sure.
Because I was ranting. I was just rant after rant about. She asked if I had considered like moving back to Knoxville or Maryville, and I'd made the statement of it was supposed to be kind of like a joke or taking away the power of it, but just kind of being like, yeah, I could pay for somewhere for $1,200 a month and for it just be a nice place to hang myself in, like that would be fucking great.
That's a gold star joke, by the way. That's that good dark humor.
Yeah. So, but of course you can't, and of course I fucked up. You can't say that to your therapist. You can't mention something like that without them prompting to ask.
Sure. Sure.
Are you feeling suicidal?
Sure.
I don't feel suicidal.
Well, and at that point, had she really witnessed that kind of behavior from you? Has she witnessed you in like...
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know.
In like peak hopelessness rant.
I don't think she has seen right. Hopeless, scared,
right.
Distraught Tyler.
And that's, I mean, anyone who's experienced like that low, you know, even if they're able to crack jokes about it or not, like that's a very intimate place that most people don't see you or anyone for that matter is that really, really like... ranting safe haven type place where like everything's kind of gone out the window and you're like you've just had the shits of it. Not a lot of people see that. So if that was her first time, I could understand her like shock and awe to it.
Yeah, I guess that's something I hadn't really even thought about or considered because like typically I am very calm. I've gone in there sad as shit, but
sure. It's
never been this anger and radicalized of just like, I want to burn it all down.
Right. So, and I mean, as someone who's gotten to know you, your therapist, over the last, I mean, you've seen her for what, like 3 years now you've been with her?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, I feel like she's kind of seen... you know, your highs, your lows, and, you know, whatever kind of emotional range you have in between. And so I think to see that anger and more like physically emotional, I feel like anger presents very physical.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like even just subconsciously, like your body language is just more... presenting, whether it's aggressive or not, I feel like angry people are just more noticeable.
Yeah.
And so to come in with that heavy presence, like as someone who's worked in mental health, like I feel like that can be kind of, not, scary is not the right word, but it would certainly ring alarm bells if you see someone that you've known and treated for an extended period of time have an episode like that, and that being new to you of them, you know, your first experience with them. It makes a little more sense that she would, you know, maybe suggest medication if she felt at a loss at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just to help you move through that, like, large emotion.
Yeah. But I just felt, and I don't like hold any resentment or anger towards her, but I felt kind of not heard.
Right. Right.
Like, I don't think she understands just, I don't know. See, well, I can't say that because I don't know what the fuck she knows. She could be a I don't know. I don't know.
Right. But like, I feel like, you know, from what we had discussed, like you felt kind of like invalidated, like instead of exploring like your righteous anger, we're instead exploring how to turn down that righteous anger.
Yeah.
And the fact is you weren't angry at, you weren't angry at your boss. You didn't have an altercation with someone who cut you in line at the grocery store. Like it's something, you know, greater than that. And just regarding, like, you know, the state of the world and how, you know, that sadness that we feel for events we can't control and people we can't help and things we can't stop or prevent, you know, that is a righteous anger. And I don't think that throwing an antidepressant at it, I don't see how that would make you feel heard, you know, it, especially if there wasn't some kind of like significant unpacking, you know, prior to suggesting medication.
And she had mentioned it before. Sure. And so I'm sure she's like already seen that, that I am depressed.
Sure, sure.
And then seeing this kind of, like you put it, righteous anger, which I really love. You nailed it on the head. I felt like I had this righteous anger, and the idea was to just throw a pill at it, and that is just something that I can't agree with at all.
Sure, sure.
So I think it just kind of like made her, I don't know if it helped her confirm it or helped her just realize like, oh, okay, he's worse off than I thought. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like I'm worse off. I'm going through it. And I think everyone is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's definitely a collective, rage and sadness, especially in anything elder, millennial, and younger.
Yeah.
That we...
Okay. I didn't pee my pants. Little pee check, folks.
We've all been there. but yeah, I feel like there's a great deal of people that are... I mean... begrudgingly living in the present, and witnessing the suffrage of other people, because I don't know, I can't speak for the great majority, but I feel like it's my responsibility as a fellow meat wagon to, if nothing else, bear witness to the suffrage of other people.
Yeah. We see it every day.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard seeing, hearing, oh, there are more kids that died. Oh, there's more. Oh, this is in the shitter. Oh, Joe Biden is surprised that he saw a far right figure at his State of the Union address. Like, bad shit constantly in your face. Mixed in with cooking tutorials and mixed in with cat videos and dog videos. And then you have a funny Vine. And then, oh, it's mass genocide again.
Funny Vine.
Remember? Vine didn't show us exploding children. That's...
how good was Vine?
if for you youngins listening.
Dems used to be them there ticky talkies.
Dems were the ticky talkies for our time.
That's silly. But I don't think that throwing any kind of medication at that type of anger, I don't think that's the time to have that conversation. There's a lot of things that need to be considered when agreeing to or exploring your options of antidepressants, and other, you know, mood stabilizing medications. And I think trying to throw that on the fire was not beneficial in that moment. You know, that's a conversation I feel like you have at baseline, unless of course, you know, you're struggling to get to baseline, then obviously it wouldn't be appropriate at that point to kind of wait. But yeah, I think that being thrown at you in the height of your anger was more confusing than anything.
Yeah, it just seemed like throwing a bottle of liquor into a into a bonfire.
Right, because you know, there's a lot of backlash, or I shouldn't say backlash, but you know, there's just a lot of cons on that pro and con list of starting an antidepressant. Mm. And as someone that has a history of traumatic events surrounding medication, throwing that at it at that time is just ripping open a wound, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I have a bad history with being affected by medication. There we go. Mm-hmm. So really, I'm already apprehensive.
Sure, as you should be.
Trying to throw that at me when I'm ready to burn down a government building. Just, do you see how that just makes you, I don't know. It makes me feel like that. Why are you acting like a cop?
Why are you? Why don't you turn that down, sir?
But that's the thing also, is that sometimes I do feel like I have kind of erratic moods and mood swings, and I feel like I'm very quick to get disappointed and feel angry and get stuck in my head once a minor inconvenience happens to where it just ruins my entire mood. And that's something I worry about. Because if it's something that will help, I want to do it. But also understand that I am scared and that I'm afraid to just go full on lobotomy with this. Like, I want to take it a step at a time, like little baby steps.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, like, I want to come. I love coming.
You're the worst.
Why is it that that's the trade off? Like, you can have happiness, but you can't have, like, the
ultimate. You can't have orgasms anymore.
Yeah. What kind of fucking.
You cannot cry in the grocery store, or you can come.
Or you can get off. Yeah.
You don't get to do both. What kind of
fucking shit is that?
Right. Yeah.
Heather assured me that there's some that don't prevent it, but whatever. I'm skeptical.
And I mean, everybody obviously has very different reactions to very different types of medication. But primarily, I mean, there's a lot of people that start medications and have worsening. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We'll cut that out.
Yeah. There's a whole section we'll cut out. It's fine. It's all right.
But that a great deal of those medications can make you feel worse. And so, you know, out of an abundance of caution, you know, it is vital, you know, that you have a strategic plan in place a safety plan, and if you feel worse, plan, you know, it's a lot more of a commitment and an investment than just something compared to like an antibiotic. You go because you know an antibiotic is going to help, and you take that and it's over and you're good. And it's just not, it's not that way for medication. You know, there's some people that can be on it temporarily. There's some people that have to be on it forever. And there's a lot to discuss within that. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's not fun experimenting with mental health meds for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't, just based off of that, I feel more away from that edge of wanting to try it. But there is a benefit. There is, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's just like anything else. You know, you are gambling on something. You are attempting to invest in something, and that can go south regardless of the investment necessarily. You know, like you open a business, you know that has the potential to fail. You know that you have the potential to either make money, take time off, vacation, maybe retire early, or you will lose everything. You know, so it just, it runs the same train of logic as that. And so I feel like for me personally, like when I have gotten on medications, it has always been a point of, I can't let this get any worse. If this gets worse, I am as good as dead. So let's introduce something.
Yeah.
And it's just been like my life is suffering. My daily life, my quality of life is suffering. My relationships are suffering, whether it be with myself, my family, romantically, it doesn't matter. But when the suffrage is so great that you kind of feel that you have no other choice, that has usually been what has pushed me to either get on medication, to restart medication, to add a medication, to increase a dosage, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's typically where I have, and it's not always so dramatic and so, I'm not always at rock bottom when I come to that decision. You know, it can, as you get older, obviously, you're just better at recognizing your own patterns and behavior. And so it's easier to identify when that time is coming.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, I'm not sure if all my relationships and with myself, my friends, with you, with family, I don't know if it feels that strain yet, but I guess it's something I just need to kind of reevaluate and just see. I think things feel fine with everything, but I just feel like I am kind of just, again, going through it and I'm feeling kind of hopeless.
Sure. And sometimes medication is there to help you find that hope. Again, I think if you were dealing with something like a chronic insecurity of like the self, or being unable to like get out of bed because you are just tearing apart yourself from the moment you wake up till the moment you go to sleep, like that, you know, you may need an alternative or a chemical intervention. But I don't think it's always appropriate. And again, I feel like what you were responding to specifically in therapy with just being broke despite making the most money you've ever made, like having healthcare but still being unable to afford to go to the doctor, all while feeling very privileged for having healthcare. And you know, you try to check out of just your daily life and bullshit at work and dealing with the things that you deal with at work and wanting to check out on social media and then going to social media and being met with very real things that are going around in the world and within our communities that we don't have the power to affect. You're just constantly being met with hopelessness. And I know what an empathetic person you are. And I feel like it's safe to say that
that I'm that feeling. Kind of, oh, sorry. Go
ahead. It's okay. That guilt kind of compounds because you feel like you're having a bad day. And then you're like, wait a minute. I literally just watched this small child like get blown limb from limb. Like, how dare I feel like I'm having a bad day?
Yeah.
And so you just have that self, like, loathing, hopeless circle of, like, I'm suffering and it's never going to get better, but everyone's suffering more, but I'm still suffering, but I can't do anything about my suffering, and I certainly can't do anything about their suffering. Mm. I can't help myself. I can't help them. I can't help myself. I can't help them.
Yeah.
And if that becomes something that you are so hyper-fixated on that you struggle going to work, that you struggle to feed yourself or are overeating to, you know, to eat those feelings, you know, once it starts like affecting your habits, your coping mechanisms or lack thereof, you know, once it starts kind of compounding into more negative action or a negative thought, or then I think it's appropriate to look at other interventions again, whether it be, you know, a different type of therapist or a different talk therapy or some sort of reading material or chemicals, you know, whatever the case may be. But I think until it is, but I mean, it's like, do you have to wait for your entire life to fall apart before you do go unmet? It's a hard thing to say. Because I feel like some people would take that too far. Mm. But I think that just, if you have a good deal of self-awareness and a good support system and people to say, hey, like, I see this is interfering with the quality of your life, then, yeah, I don't think that medication is always the answer. And I certainly don't think that, you know, kind of what I had said to you then when we first talked about this with, like, wanting to kind of turn down that anger and put a medication to it to help subdue what could potentially be something that ignites an action, you know, when people, you know, from necessity breeds ingenuity. And I feel like if we just put a fucking mood stabilizer on it, or give you a medication to turn off that active part of your brain, then what's the drive to participate in your community?
Yeah.
If not righteous anger.
Yes. And that's, you know, it makes me feel like a fucking, it makes me feel like a fucking libertarian. I'm just like, why is she trying to fucking drug me like that?
Right.
But there's other things that you mentioned that I do feel like apply to me. There is like, there are some days where it is a constant negative self-talk loop that I can't get it to just shut the fuck up.
Sure. And sure.
So I mean, maybe I should look into it. I don't know. See, but I'm fucking scared.
I mean, it is a very overwhelming thing, and it can be incredibly scary. I, from the age of 12, I've been on 7 different medications, and some of them had little to no effect. A couple of them made it worse. And then a couple, probably like 6 years ago, I got on a medication that I've been on since. And for me, it was a 24/7 negative loop, hyper fixated on time and just chronically like overanalyzing my activity or inactivity and being unable to do something as simple as like make a sandwich without tearing myself apart, telling myself that I made that fucking sandwich wrong. And so like that turned into just sleeping all the time, sleeping 20 minutes before I had to leave for work and falling asleep an hour after I got home and never just really participating in my day beyond making money. And so that was when I got on Lexapro. And the doctor at the time, who was just my family doctor, and a very old man, but lovely, diagnosed me with OCD. And OCD, and women are commonly misdiagnosed with OCD when in fact it's ADHD. Mm-hmm. And Lexapro is a pretty umbrella medication. It can be used for a lot of things. It's also a very old school medication. So we have a great deal of like scientific evidence of how it works with, what it doesn't work with, yeah, things of that nature. You know, and there's a lot of the meds that we use now, we've been using forever. A lot of medications are well developed. And of course there's a couple new ones here or there, but for the most part, like your typical meds, which are commonly an SSRI, are your foundational medications that have been around since the discussion of mental health was happening.
I felt like you just needed some water.
I'm very thirsty, thank you.
Oh, here, get you some. I'm good. Into the mall. I'm good. Put it
down. Okay. But I think there's a lot of benefit to medications. Most people I know are on some sort of medication. But again, it was affecting my ability to do anything. It was affecting my ability to go one day with being okay within myself. And I still have a very hard time being okay within myself, but it's not every day. And so I think it's common for medical practitioners, not so much like mental health workers, but like your primary care physicians. I think it's really common for them to want to throw a medication at you, because they don't have the skills, to do any type of like behavioral or emotion management. And medications are beneficial for a lot of people, but they're not a fix-all. They're never going to be a fix-all. So it really just becomes a weight of, you have to weigh the pros and cons of like, what is the benefit, or like how much progress can I expect this medication to give me? How much progress can I see myself making by being on a medication? Mm-hmm. What do I expect it to do? And I think that lies a lot of the problem is what people expect from medications. And it's
right.
It's never meant to be, you know, a cure-all. And
I know I have this fucking terrible whistle. And I'm sure you can hear it throughout. We might leave it in just to fuck with people, but I am listening and just breathing and whistling.
To get that whistle.
It's about to do the Andy Griffith scene, song.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Well, don't be. You're fucking.
The Swedes don't know Andy Griffith.
The Swedes love Andy Griffith. Don't you?
Does everybody know that?
No, God, no. Our old people know. Jeff would love it.
Jeff I'll never be Jeff.
No, I think you're right. I think it is. Like, I do think people have, for one, a very unrealistic expectation on medicine and even therapy of it being a cure.
For sure.
It's not a cure. It's just a way to help deal with it and talk about it as therapy goes. And the idea with medicine, it sounds like it is. Again, it doesn't fix it, but like you said, you get a day where you're not second guessing every decision. You're not super worried. Ding, fucking phone.
I'm sorry. Where is
Demon? Put your phone on silent. I was gonna buzz the mics.
Fucking Ricky.
Who? Ricky?
Rookie.
Who's Rookie? Anyways, yeah, it's not a cure. It's just supposed to help, but it helps give you that day. And I think what I need to do is just be more mindful and really like just take notice of how much the self-talk occurs before. Like, I need to just self-monitor myself a little bit and see if it's really that bad, this episode, or is my life actually pretty good and I just kind of am adjusting to change and adjusting to seeing more bad shit on the internet every day, and I just, maybe I need to get off the internet a little bit more. But I want to come.
I mean, to be fair, a lot of, I mean, my experience with medication is that it definitely does make not only the act of like having an orgasm more difficult, it also makes the desire to even want to participate in acts that generate orgasm, it also makes that less appealing. Because it just overall like depletes your sex drive.
Do you think that's like linked? Do you think the medicine's like, well, here's your problem. You're fucking horny. If you're horny, you're going to be fucking sad. Well, let's take some of this horniness, put it into the sadness port here. Turn this libido into a la smile. That was terrible. Turn this libido into a glado. No.
I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, because it's already libido. It's not libidon't. Okay. I'm losing her. This is going great.
How do you think the show's going?
Yeah, Sandy, how do you think the podcast is going? How do you think the show's going?
Goodness.
You did a lot of, did you go through all your notes? You did a lot of research for this.
I wouldn't call it research. I just wanted to make sure that if any like specific things came up regarding medication, that the things I had in my brain as fact were in fact fact.
We're in fact
facts. Yeah, that's the point. I take the dark glasses off and looks dead into the camera.
Facts. 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 That's, yeah.
But I don't know a lot of people who started medications because they were righteously angry at people dying and starving, and knowing that we live in a capitalistic society that will just, that does everything in the name of keeping the working class down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with that kind of money and power, there's just not a lot we can do in small numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very hopeless, powerless kind of feeling. And it's triggering because if anyone has felt hopeless or, what was the other word I used?
Powerless.
Thank you. God damn it. If anybody has felt those things, like at a time of vulnerability and when there's something life-altering going on, I mean, to look at the world and see that reflected in other communities and, you know, subsequently a reflection of how you're living, it's hard to see. And I certainly don't think the answer to that is medication. And I think that a lot of people can appreciate a dark joke, and a handful of them have not shared that experience. And so it seems a lot more threatening than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone who is chronically or passively suicidal knows that somehow that makes you feel better by knowing that, like, no matter how bad it gets, you always have that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, because that's something I agree with too. It takes away that power of like the hopelessness of the situation.
Right, right.
It's kind
of, I mean, to be fair, medication can also take away that power, the intensity of a situation. You know, I'm certainly not knocking medication. I will probably be on it forever, and I'm okay with that. Yeah. As long as it works and it's not tearing apart my body in other like fatal ways, I'm straight. I'll take my pills every day.
Yeah, and I guess since we're kind of on the subject of things, I do just want to remind everyone that if you are feeling suicidal and need to talk or need to text, you can call or text 988. It's the suicide hotline. There'll be someone there to speak with you or text with you.
And so. I think that's only in America.
Only in America.
Sorry, Swedes. I don't know what your numbers are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure the Brits have a...
They have something.
Yeah. Sweden, tell if you... If one of one or four of you Swedish listeners could tell
if
us...
If any one to four of you.
If any one to four of you... Because that was how much it showed online that was listening from Sweden. Or whoever's using a VPN and happens to know. What is the crisis line in Sweden? We'd love to know. Comment. Tell us. You can... text me. I'll give you my number. You just gotta call. So wait, what are you? You're looking up something.
I am trying to look up.
Hi, Ken.
I'm trying to look up what the crisis number is in Sweden.
How does Sweden deal with natural disasters?
Sweden helplines and hotlines.
Here we go.
Find a helpline. Okay.
And for our four listeners, you can call...
You can call 08-702-1680. It's run by volunteers. I cannot pronounce any of these. There is also another number that's 020-181800.
Now, that's for survivors of suicide loss.
Oh, interesting. But I'm sure that they would most likely have resources for anyone feeling suicidal.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could probably just Google it pretty quick as well.
Well, yeah, because that's what you're thinking when you're in the heat of the moment. I need to Google.
That's totally fair. That's totally fair.
You know, Sandy, I think
this was a terrible episode, and we're gonna scrap it.
No. I think it's reached its logical conclusion, but I think it's a fine episode. I don't know. Listen back to it, and it's fine. Why are you worried?
I don't know. I don't want to disappoint the Swedes or the one person using a VPN.
Yeah, we don't want
to. Can someone please clarify if you are listening to this, are you in Sweden or are you using a VPN? Is there one of you? Is there four of you? I need clarification.
Yeah, because it's very vague on the stats.
Yeah.
It just says 4 downloads from Sweden. Which is weird, right?
It is.
Because it could be one person listening to 4 episodes.
Right, maybe they just wanted a taste of it.
Yeah.
And 4 is like their favorite number. So they were like,
it's like, that's how you get a good taste.
Yeah.
And then he was like, not my cup of tea. You have any final thoughts? On antidepressants, any takeaways?
They're good, they're bad, they're ugly. They're not for everyone. But sometimes they're super cool.
That's beautiful.
Try it or don't.
Sandy, thank you for joining me here on the podcast since Jeff couldn't be here this episode.
But we thought of him naked.
We did think of him naked. I think it helped get through it. All right, so thanks for listening, and again, this is from all of us here at Everything is Traumatic.
Bye.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Shanda Pickles.
And please, take care of yourself.